After driving the money changers out of the temple, earlier in chapter 21, Jesus begins teaching there in the temple. His authority is questioned by the religious leaders who are supposed to be in charge of the temple. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the 21st chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, beginning with the 23rd verse. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another. "Now, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we're afraid of the crowd, for all regard Jesus as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He was sent to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' The son answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your mind and believe him." This is the word of the Lord. So our family time or taking faith home devotional is available to anyone. You don't need to have kids at home. You can be a kid at heart. They are on the Welcome Center. We invite you to grab one. It's another way to center yourself throughout the week on the texts that we've talked about today. The psalm that we shared this morning, Psalm number 25, has a line that is a part of a song that is often sung at camp. It goes something like this. "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust." When you listen to that bit of the psalm, the very first verse, it turns you into a posture of prayer and praise. You will see Pastor Lee or myself, when we are leading worship, sometimes we'll lift our hands like this. It is a posture of prayer from the altar. And there are different postures of prayer that we can use, right? You can pray like this. But this call to prayer in Psalm 25 is also a posture where we can open our hands, almost as in opening up our lives to God and saying, "You know, Lord, it's in you I trust. I'm not clinging to anything here. Fill me and use me and carry me." That psalm is really a solid psalm in the midst of our lives, in the midst of the craziness that is going on, which calls us again and again and again to look outside of ourselves for the things that we can give God thanks for and praise God for. And we can have a lot of different postures doing that. We can do it with our hands clasped. We can do it with our hands open. We can do it sitting in an easy chair or a pew. You can be in a posture of walking about and looking at all the blessings that God is giving in the beauty of nature itself. And that can be a posture of prayer and praise. So I invite you, that's listed under the rituals and traditions part of this devotional. Invite you, if you'd like, as you leave today,
to grab one of those. For those people who are watching on Facebook or listening on the radio, you can go to our website, and on the very front page, lower right-hand corner, there's a whole listing of resources that are available, and one of them now that will be updated each week is Taking Faith Home. So if you forget to grab it here, or if you're sitting at home, you can get it for yourself. Well, grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the risen Christ. We're going to put a slide up for you because as I was thinking about the text that's before us today, this is the movie that struck my fancy. So if you're listening on the radio, it is a picture of the movie poster from Jaws. Now, why would I do that? When you see this picture, when you hear of the movie Jaws, what's the music that comes to mind? Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. That music starting out really slow and getting faster and faster and faster, and you expect at some moment from the screen somewhere that shark is going to come flying out and it is going to grab someone or something. That music makes tension within your body rise. Now, I know this is an old movie, but I couldn't think of a more appropriate soundtrack, something that is so universal than Jaws. Maybe after services, some of you who are better movie buffs than me can let me know what else would have been appropriate. But why think about this? Because in the text that we read today from the 21st chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, we are seeing the tension increasing around Jesus. Let me jump back and remind you of a few things. Back in chapter 16 of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus begins his journey toward Jerusalem. He physically turns his face toward Jerusalem. He says to the disciples around him, "Guys, we're going to Jerusalem. There, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be tried, I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'll rise again." And Peter says to him, "Oh, Lord, say it's not so." Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." From chapter 16 on, until we get to the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we have a journey dialogue. Jesus and the disciples making their way to Jerusalem. In chapter 21, we arrive. And to help set the scene, I want to remind you of something. First of all, the Gospel of Matthew, I've told you, is a gospel that is written by a faithful Jewish person, Matthew, who is from a small community of people who believe that the Messiah has already come. That's Matthew and his followers. The larger gathering of faithful Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah, and this is like a family squabble. Matthew and his small group are having a squabble with the larger Jewish community saying, "Hey, open your eyes, the Messiah has come." As we get to the beginning of the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we have the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's the text that we read together on Palm Sunday. Jesus coming in, riding on a donkey, the colt. Now you and I think, a donkey? Why not a noble steed? Something big and white. That's what the movie makers would do. But you got to remember that this is a squabble in the midst of a faithful Jewish community, and what they would remember is that King Solomon came riding in on a donkey, the foal of a donkey, when he was to be anointed king. And so he came in riding a donkey, and the people began to shout, "Hosanna! Remember kids running around here with palm branches? Oh, wait, we didn't do that this year. But there would have been palm branches, and they would have been waved had we been here that day, but there was the screaming, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus comes in, and as that shouting is going on, Matthew writes that some of the people were asking, who is this? Jesus goes from that point and he goes into the temple. He immediately begins to flip over the tables of the money changers. This is the system where people would bring in their Roman coins and they'd change it over into temple coins so that they could buy animals that they could take to the altar and slaughter. It was all part of the sacrificial services that happened there in the temple. And Jesus flips their tables over and he says to them, my house is to be a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of robbers. And the tension begins to build. From there, Jesus walks out. He sees a fig tree. He curses the fig tree. It withers. This is a symbol of Jesus confronting the temple authority, cursing their leadership, and giving us a vision that the temple authority is going to wither. And the tension rises. It is into that midst that Jesus once again returns to the temple. And the question that is on the lips of the leaders of the temple is, who are you? Or maybe, who do you think you are? I mean, that's not exactly what they ask. What they ask is, by what authority are you doing these things? Now remember, we read this text with 2,000 years of history between us and those happenings. In that moment, the religious leaders see before them this man of no particular standing whatsoever. He's from a backwater community. I'm sure they've heard about him because he's been out and about. He's been gathering large crowds, healing and teaching and feeding and so much more. But he's standing there challenging them right now, and they want to know by what authority. But Jesus won't play their game. And then he tells them a parable. A parable that makes the tensions rise all the more. There are two sons that a father sends out to the vineyard. One of the sons says, I'm not going. And then thinks about it, changes his mind, and goes. The other son says, oh, I'd be glad to. And then never goes to do the work. Who do you think did the will of the father? And the religious leaders say, well, of course, the first one. And Jesus says, you're right. Oh, and by the way, the sinners and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God before any of you. The religious leaders of the day were just put in their place. The tension is rising, and it's not going to stop rising here. We're in Jerusalem now. The parables that you are going to hear in the coming weeks are parables of rising tension, where Jesus continues to confront the religious authorities of the day for what they are doing and for what's going on. And it's going to lead to his death. We know that. And the tension is rising. Got any tension in your life these days? Do you feel like there is a shark swimming around and there's a bit of music playing in the background and you're wondering what's going to bite you next? I think about parents who are trying to figure out what is the right thing to do with their kids. Do we distance learn? Do we keep them at home? Do we do what we do? Teachers who are trying to figure out how they enter into classrooms and stay safe. Administrators trying to juggle 14 different balls, trying to make the best decisions that they can. State officials trying to lead. I mean, business owners who are trying to figure out how to keep their businesses intact, not only for their sake, but for the sake of their employees? Do you wear a mask or don't you wear a mask? Are you making a political statement if you do or if you don't? Who's going to give you grief over what you do? And then if all of those things aren't enough, how about if we throw a presidential election into the midst of it, which has to be the most contentious election that we've ever been in the midst of? Don't worry, I'm not going to be talking politics. But we've got to be honest, it's all tension-producing. And we wonder when the shark is going to come flying out of the waters that we're swimming in these days. And maybe, just maybe, the place that we turn to in the midst of us, remember, we know the end of the story. We know that this tension is going to lead to Jesus' death, but it doesn't end there because from the cross, he rises. Out of the grave, the tomb is empty. The reading from Philippians today. You can't see this when we show it up on the screen. But when you get home, open up your Bible. Or if you are at home, open your Bible and you will notice that in Philippians, as you read it, the second half of it is indented, almost like a poem. That's because this is believed to be the first hymn that was ever written down in Scripture. So this second part of Philippians was probably sung by early Christians. But maybe in the midst of the tension that we are facing these days, maybe we should read Philippians closely. Listen to this beginning. If then, and I love the fact that Paul begins with an if, because he's not taking it for granted. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love and sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. What if in the midst of the face of all of this tension, in the midst of the bait that's being laid out that we would be invited into an argument with someone else, what if we didn't take the bait and instead became holy diffusers? Who focused on being more Christ-like, where we just worked to love our neighbor. Now, let me be really clear. I'm not asking us to turn our backs on injustices or anything else, but I'm calling us to maybe step back and not enter into the tension. What if in the midst of decisions that are being made by others, even if we don't agree with them, what if we took a posture that says we're going to trust and believe that they're trying to make the best choices that they can with the information they have in front of them? That's a completely different posture. And I'm not telling you that you shouldn't go and vote this year in the way that your conscience and beliefs lead you to vote. We need to be actively involved, right? But in the place that we are in this moment, can we try to look at the other, believing that they are doing the best thing that they can? Christ emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave or a servant for the sake of us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what if we become holy diffusers who become the ones who live our faith not only in our love of God, but in the way that we engage and we treat others, sending the shark off to bother someone else. Amen.